Second Samuel chapter 4. Let's look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible states there that Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Our second reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 9. So we see the incident that happened there. Then in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9 from verse 1, the Bible states there that now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for heaven's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amnel, in Lodibah." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amnel, from Lodibah. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his feet and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." I pray there's someone here that God wants to show kindness to this morning. He said, "I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Verse 8, then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon him, upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall walk the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. And he was lame in both his feet. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This morning, I just want to talk to you about something I've titled, "Occupy Your Place." Occupy your place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for this morning. We thank you for your word, even as it comes forth. We thank you for giving us understanding. Lord, we thank you above all because, oh God, even as we listen to this word, as we hear this word, we know you will speak to us, oh God, individually. A word that will bring transformation in our lives in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, looking at the passage that we read, there's so much that we can glean from it. And if I were to try to glean everything and share it with you, it would take quite a while. But as time permits me, I'll just share a couple of the thoughts that I noticed from this scripture that I believe would help us individually or in our various lives. And what you'll discover is that there are certain events or incidents in a person's life that can change the course and the destiny of that person. Especially if it's a negative incident, if it's not handled properly, if it's not handled with care, it can change that person's destiny. It can change the life of that person. It can change how they perceive life. It can leave them in a state that would affect them for a lifetime. There are certain incidents that leave a mark on a person that is difficult to erase. There are certain things that happens in a person's life that once it happens, it is difficult to erase the effects of that incident. And what we'll notice from that passage is that at the age of 5, like we read earlier, something happened in the life of this young man called Mephibosheth that altered his lifestyle. The Bible makes us to understand that he was dropped and became lame. You know, usually when I name babies and when people come and do the dedication, one of the things is I always hand the child, the baby, back to the parents. And one of the prayers I always pray is that never drop that child. Because it's very important that the person in authority over a child does not drop that child, because it can have a lasting effect upon a child. And that's what happened. Although the dropping was in the physical, but people can be dropped in various ways. Are you listening to me this morning? And it's interesting because you'll notice that this incident that happened was no fault of Mephibosheth. He had nothing to play in it. He did not ask for it. He was not thinking of it. But it happened all the same and affected him for life. And unfortunately, there are incidents that we don't really play a part in. It's not like we have a choice. There are incidents that happen to people that it's not that you asked for it, you prayed for it. But it happens all the same, and it has a lasting impact upon the life of people. The effect of that incident lived with Mephibosheth for the rest of his life. The action of another person left a mark on him that he carried for the rest of his life. Now, you may not fully understand what I'm talking about, but I witnessed a similar thing in the life of my father many years ago. It's interesting because I was going to preach something else. Yesterday, as I was preparing my message, I didn't remember that today marks exactly 10 years that my father died. I didn't remember until I'm that kind of person. I don't remember certain dates at times. But incidentally, I witnessed a similar thing. About 5 years before my father died, an accident happened to him through no fault of his own that led to the amputation of one of his legs. And what happened was that another person's action affected his lifestyle and him for the rest of his life while he lived. And another person's action altered his lifestyle. And he went from someone that was independent to someone that needed the support of another person to do certain things. And that was what happened to Mephibosheth. You may not never have been in that situation, or you may not fully understand what I'm talking about. But when another person's action leads to you being impaired, whether physically, emotionally, in whatever way, then it's different when it is you that did it. Are you listening to me? And that was the case with Mephibosheth. He suffered the consequences of the action of another person. It's interesting. Well, time up. It's interesting because we were watching a documentary. I think it was yesterday. And it was about kids behind bars in America. And it's interesting because they interviewed a certain gentleman that was involved in a burglary. I think about 4 of them or 5 of them were involved in a burglary. And the owner of the house had a gun and shot one of the people that came to rob the house. And that one died. Now, it's interesting because in the state, I think it was Indiana, in that state, the law states that the owner of the house had the right to defend himself and protect his house. And he couldn't be charged for murder. But they had to hold somebody responsible for the murder. So it was the other people that came to rob the house that did not hold the gun, that were held responsible and tried for murder and jailed for murder. And that chap, when they interviewed him, I think, is it 55 years or something like that? He was serving 55 years in prison. Consequence of another person's action. Are you listening to me? And what you find is that this was the case with Mephibosheth. He became someone that had to be carried all his life. He lost something that was precious on that day. And there are times that an incident happens and we lose something precious. He lost his legs on that day. Something precious, something that would have made a difference to his life. And you need to understand something, because in those days there were no artificial legs. It's not like these days that you have the Oscar Pistorius. You know, that he can even run faster than some of us. But in those days, they did not have anything like that. So he had to be carried. His mobility was affected. He was impaired for life. And what you find is that Mephibosheth was physically lame and had resigned to a life of despondency. So it happened to him when he was 5. But then when we get to chapter 9, you can notice that he had resigned to the kind of life he had to live. He had resigned to a life of not living the best, if I use that word. But unknown to him, there was a king looking for Jonathan's descendants. The Bible states in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 that we read earlier. He was looking for the descendants of Jonathan to show kindness to them. Let me drop something here. You should be mindful of the seed you are sowing, because it will affect generations after you. You might not realize it. The seed Jonathan sowed on that day, he may never have realized that years after, that seed would have an impact. Are you listening to me? Time will not permit me to give you an example of how that. But what happened was that David wanted to fulfill his part of the covenant he made with Jonathan years ago. Now, why am I saying this? The same way I've come to remind us this day that God wants to show kindness to someone here this morning, because of the covenant he made with us when he sent us his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. You know, the Bible states in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. The Bible states that by so much more, Jesus has become surety of a better covenant. Let me repeat that. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become surety of a better covenant. The word surety means guarantee. So which means that Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant. And God is looking to show kindness and mercy to someone because of that better covenant that we are enjoying. I can't hear your amen. Mephibosheth was living a life that was below what God planned for him. But then, the Bible states in 2 Samuel chapter 9, it states that David heard that Jonathan's son was still alive. It states, when he heard, he said, "Where is he?" He asks that, "Where is he?" Help me ask your neighbor. Say, God is asking you, where is he? Let me explain. God is looking to and fro, looking for someone that may extend his hand to. God is looking for someone to and fro. He's looking to and fro, looking for someone that he may show mercy, favor, kindness, grace to. God is saying, where are the people here that may have been dropped when they were young? Or may have been dropped as a teenager. Or may have been dropped by someone they trusted. God is looking for such in our midst this morning. Where is he? Where is that person? Where is that person that God wants to show mercy and kindness to this morning? Where is that person that God wants to cover your shame? You know, sometimes people go through certain things. It might not even be that you've been dropped, but something shameful that is a reproach happens to them. But one thing I know about God is he can cover that shame. Whereby by the time you come out, people will not even know what has happened in your life. And God is looking for such people in this place this morning. Are you listening to me this morning? You know, if you were to look at the story of Mephibosheth, although the Bible doesn't tell us, but reading between the lines, you could almost say that people probably would have given up on him. In the sense that he was lame on both feet. He was not living amongst these people. So they probably would have given up on him. That cannot amount to anything. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. But people may have given up on you or written you off. But I want you to know that God has not given up on you. God has come searching. He has sent me this morning to speak this word to someone. Like I said, I was going to share something else, but God changed my message. And he has sent me to speak this word to someone without a shadow of doubt to my spirit. That he wants to touch someone this morning and heal certain things in your life. Are you listening to me this morning? Mephibosheth was physically lame. But just before I go on, so that we can put it within perspective and you can get a better understanding of some of the things I'm talking about. I classified, and I used the word I classified, lameness in three different categories. The first one is what we read in the Bible about Mephibosheth. He was physically lame. So what does that mean? That's affected his legs. He could not go as fast as his peers. He was physically impaired. His mobility physically was affected. And then people can be emotionally lame. You know, physical lameness you can see. Emotional lameness you cannot see. Are you with me? Let me explain. Emotional lameness sometimes can be caused by when there's a betrayal. So let's say a person's best friend betrays them. So that affects their emotion. Or it could be that a person was sexually abused when they were young or raped. That brings emotional lameness that some people don't, they cannot express their emotions in that area. Or sometimes, you sometimes find children that because their parents divorced at a young age, it affects them because they cannot give their affection and love to someone of the opposite sex because they see that it's going to happen to them as well. I mean, those are some of the causes, and there are many other causes. But basically, what emotional lameness does, it affects the heart of the person whereby they cannot express or receive certain types of emotions. So sometimes people people are emotionally, and I've noticed that sometimes when people are emotionally lame, what they do is they put a wall up. Nobody can come in, nobody can go out. Are you with me this morning? And then thirdly, I classify the third one as intellectual lameness. And this one, intellectual lameness, affects the mind, it affects the brain. Let me explain. Intellectual lameness can be caused by when a person maybe tried to do certain things and we are disappointed. So from past disappointments in terms of maybe trying to move ahead in their career, or maybe they try to start a business or do certain exams and they failed it. So they become intellectually lame, which means that they don't want to try certain things that will push their thinking beyond a certain place. They don't want to try to start any other business. They think I'll just continue doing my 9-to-5 job that I'm doing. Or they don't want to try any other exams. And all those things are types of lameness that affect people in life. And that can affect them for the rest of their life. Because what happens with someone that is intellectually lame is that they think others are better than them. Are you listening to me this morning? Mephibosheth was lame physically. But there are many people here. You may not be physically lame, but you are lame in one area or the other of your life. But I've come to announce to you this morning that just the way David went looking for Mephibosheth, God has come looking for you this morning. He wants to pick you out individually and touch your life and heal that lameness in the name of Jesus. You know, it's interesting because when you read the story of Mephibosheth, it's quite interesting. Because as I read it, as I prepared, as I thought about it, you realize that Mephibosheth was a prince. Now, in reality, when you think about it, Mephibosheth, you could almost say that he was not an ordinary prince. Let me explain. He was the prince, grandchild of the first king of Israel. The first king. So, you could almost call him the first prince, in quotes. And here was a prince that was meant to be wearing royal robes. Now, get this. Look at this. The Bible makes us to understand that he was a prince. But the Bible states, where was it found? It states that in verse 4, indeed, he is in the house of Mecher, the son of Amiel in Lodibah. I'll stop there. Here was a prince living in the house of someone. When we were in university, we used to call it something, when you don't have your bed. Squatting there, thank you. Here was a prince squatting in the house of Mekke. Someone that was meant to be in the palace. He didn't even have his own house. And then, to make matters worse, he was not just squatting in the house of someone. He was squatting in the house of someone in Lodibah. You may not understand that. But Lodibah means a place of no pasture. Which probably means that this place was not a fertile land in those days. When they say a place without pasture, it means that that place would not be a fertile place. So he was squatting, but also staying somewhere that there was no fruit or produce from it. Which makes me to conclude that possibly feeding might have been a challenge for him. The Bible doesn't say, but it makes me conclude reading the various things. Now, you'll also discover that Lodibar means a place of no pasture. But if we look at the location of Lodibar, you'll also discover that Lodibar was in a region inhabited by the tribe of Manasseh. Now, for Bible scholars, you know what that means. Because when the children of Israel, when they were going to the promised land, when they were about to cross the river Jordan, the Bible makes us to understand that two and a half tribes, decided that we will stay on the east side of the Jordan and not cross over. Which means we will not enter into the promises of God for our life. We will settle for less than God intended. Now, you need to get this, that Lodibar was based in the land, on the area occupied by Manasseh, which was one of those tribes. Which means that he now settled in a place less than God intended for him. Are you flowing with me? He settled for less in life. He was living amongst a people that had a mindset of, we don't have to get the best of God for us. Oh, you may not understand that. One of the things I've discovered is that the first group of people, or the people you settle with or surround yourself with, determine the ceiling by which you get to. Oh, I remember years ago when I first got to this country, and you know, all the people that around me, most people were renting a house. When you get a council flat, you do a party. Oh, I'm serious. You have a serious house party. When the council gives you a house in a high rise, in a rundown area, the fact that you have arrived, you don't understand. One of my friends, you know, the one of our friends that was doing very well. The job he was doing was in the post office. Sorry, nothing to do, you know, there's nothing wrong with working in the post office. But he was working nights in post office. He was one of the people that was doing well, that we saw as, wow, you've arrived. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. The people you have around you determine your outlook. And Mephibosheth had settled with a group of people that had an outlook that we don't have to get the best that God has for us. And that probably was caused by his lameness. And that's what happens when people are lame in a certain area of their life. A lot of times they just think that, you know, sometimes you see some ladies and you can see them going into a relationship wanting to get married to someone that you know that this thing, you can tell that they are settling for less. But it's like they're thinking, well, I'll just manage this. They may not say it, but you can tell from conversations and various things. I've seen it. A man that verbally abuses them before they even get married. I'm not talking about physical. Verbal abuse. Before we even talk about physical. In fact, some people physical and they are still in the relationship. What are they doing there? Settling for less. He had settled for less. However, his life was about to change. I see someone's life about to change in this place this morning. Someone's life is going to change this morning in the name of Jesus. You have settled for less for too long. You have carried that lameness for too long. But this morning, God is going to turn it around in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, The Bible states something in the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 16. It states that the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. When people settle for less, they are still in darkness. They don't have an understanding of the revelation of what God has for them. It says that, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Light is going to dawn upon you this morning in the name of Jesus. It says light has dawned. Every area of darkness in your life, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that God will shine light upon it in Jesus' name. You know, the curse of Mephibosheth's life, when he was 5 years old, changed in a day. In fact, a day is a long time for a person's life to change. A second, a person's life was dropped. That would have been a second. Changed in that second, but let's say a day. And the same way, the day he met David, his life changed again in a day. Oh, somebody's life. Hey, Shakan Derebo. Somebody's life is about to change today in the name of Jesus. I'll share three things that happened. Or not three things, a couple of things. But before I do, let me just share a couple of things that needed adjustments in Mephibosheth's life. And you need to understand this because in order to, although God can heal you, there are certain things that you need to adjust. Are you with me? Good. He needed to adjust himself regarding his identity. Let me explain. He allowed his lameness to define his identity. He allowed his lameness to affect how he saw himself. And sometimes when you've been through certain things, we begin to see ourselves through the eyes of the situation and circumstances we've been through, as opposed to seeing ourselves through what God says concerning our life. And that's what happens to Mephibosheth. Because the Bible makes us to understand that when he came before David, he called himself, he said, a dead dog as I. That means his identity had changed from seeing himself as a prince to seeing himself not just as a dog, but a dead dog. Oh, God help me here. You see, the fact that he was lame and lagged did not change his identity as a prince. Do you know whether all his legs were gone, whether all his hands were gone? He was still a prince. I remember seeing an image some time ago that brought it sort of to light. And the image was of a lion. And that image had a statement that goes like this. It states that no matter the economy of the jungle, I can never eat grass. It's not pride. It's just who I am. Hey, you don't see a lion eating grass. The jungle does not change the lion. So why should you, as a child of God, based on your environment, begin to see yourself not as a lion, not as a child of God, but as something else? My goodness, am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, we need to understand something. We need to always remember that you are the child of the Most High God and joint heirs with Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. Let me show you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let me quickly show you before we move on. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Is someone getting something this morning? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The Bible states in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It states that, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. That makes me to understand that irrespective of the environment, irrespective of what happens to me, irrespective of what kind of lameness, it does not change who I am. So that adjustment needs to happen in our lives. Nothing changes who you are. Are you listening to me? The second adjustment he needed to make regarded his location. I explained the meaning of Lodiba to you. And what you find is that he needed to change his location from hanging around those that were ready to receive less. Let me explain. What happened to Mephibosheth is that his tribe were planted in the promised land. But he decided to uproot himself, either through the lameness or whatever happened, and decided to uproot himself from where God planted them. You know, it is God that planted them there. And decided to uproot himself and go and plant himself somewhere else. But until he changed his location, he could not connect back with his identity. He needed to change his location. Because location matters in all this. How does that apply to us? Location for you might not be physical. Location might relate to, as an example, the people you hang around with. Location might relate to your spiritual way of thinking. Location might relate to the church. He needed to, because in the location where God had planted him, that was where God was going to bring his deliverance. The Bible says, deliver me, O Lord, according to your word. God will send the word to the place where he planted the person, not to where he decided to plant himself. That's why David remained in the palace. He did not go to Lodiba. It was Mephibosheth that had to come from Lodiba to meet David. He needed to change his thinking. You can tell that his thinking was flawed. And thinking is different from identity. Identity is how you see yourself. Identity is who you are in Christ. But his thinking was flawed because he saw himself as being worthless. His thinking was flawed because if his thinking wasn't flawed, he would not refer to himself as a dead dog. His thinking was flawed because he probably would have been thinking, I cannot do this. I cannot become this. This can never happen to me. And until you need to change your thinking because your thinking will affect your actions. So he needed to make all those adjustments himself. There are some adjustments that God will make for you. But there are some that you need to make yourself. All this he needs to make himself. God will be the one that brings healing. And is somebody getting some? God help me. He needed to make the adjustments for him to occupy the place that was rightfully his. And then, let me just round up. And as I go along, I'll be praying for you as I share this. Because those are the things that David received that Mephibosheth received, I beg your pardon, when David called for him. David was searching based on the covenant. And there was a package that came with that covenant. He received kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. The Bible states, "Therefore, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." What am I doing? Okay. Hallelujah. He said that, "I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. Based on the covenant, I will show you mercy." And when he connected with the king, what did he receive? He received mercy. When you connect with the King of Kings, as he's out searching, you need to come to him. And as you come to him, God will show kindness to you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that from henceforth you will experience the mercy of God in your life. Amen. You know, something about mercy is so that even when you make mistakes, because God's kindness is towards you, he will overlook some of the mistakes when you genuinely. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that all the mistakes that you may have made that led to you being lame, that today, in the name of Jesus, the Lord will cancel it and show you mercy in Jesus' name. You receive kindness. You receive kindness. When God is kind towards a person, let me put it this way. When God chooses to love a person, let me put it another way. When God decides to extend his hand towards a person, you can be certain that day that you stretch forth your hand to touch his hand, to meet with him, that your destiny, the course of your life, will change that day. With Mephibosheth, that day, although he was physically lame, you will not realize that he was lame after he had received God's kindness. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. The second thing that happened to him, the Bible states that David said, "I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather." All the land. So there was restoration in his life. The thing that was rightfully his. So not just in terms of identity,
Notice that. You know, we said that he was a prince. And normally, in those days, the inheritance passes down. In fact, in those days, they don't really buy land. They don't really sell land, per se. It wasn't common. Once in a while, they did. But the inheritance usually remained in the hands of the family for years, being passed down from one generation to the other. But because of what happened to him, because of the various things that he had experienced, the inheritance that was his, what was rightfully his, he no longer had it. Oh my goodness. Hey. You know, it reminds me of the scripture in the book of Joel that talks about what. Let me read it out. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible states that so I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. It says you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Let me pray for you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everything that you have lost over the years, either through your fault or no fault of yours, that from hence from this day, that even the way the land of Saul was restored back to Mephibosheth, that the Lord Almighty will restore it back to you in the name of Jesus. Hey, whether physical, financial, whatever it may be that you have lost, that rightfully belongs to you. I stand in my office as a servant of God this morning, and I declare that it shall be restored to you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. We'll finish in a few minutes. He received back everything that he lost. Everything. Hey, it reminds me of the Israelites. When they were about to leave the land of Egypt, for years, the Egyptians had not been paying their wages or not paying it well enough. In one day, I pray that this day will be that one day in your life in the name of Jesus. In one day. Oh my goodness. It reminds me of the woman, the Shunammite woman, my goodness. The Bible states that there was a famine in the land in the book of Kings. And it says 2 Kings. And it states that there was a famine in the land and she had to leave the land. But the Bible states that she then came back. As she came back and went to the king, Gehazi was talking about her story to the king. The Lord will call someone that matters to remember you in the right place in the name of Jesus. And it didn't end there. Listen to me. It didn't end there. Before she came, a recommendation had gone beforehand. As she stepped in there, Gehazi said that, oh, that is the woman. That is the person. Oh, who is the person in this place? That is the person. He said, that is the person. As he said it, the Bible states that the king said that the land should be restored to her. But not just the land. The proceeds over the last 7 years, I declare over your life that not just what you have lost, but all the profit that belongs to you, that it will be restored back to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. We'll round up in a few minutes. He received all the land. And then not just all the land. The Bible states that you shall eat bread at my table continually, which means that he never lacked after that. He had been lacking provision in Lodibar. But that day, when David showed kindness to him, from that day henceforth, he was eating what? Daily. He did not lack. You will never lack. Amen. No, let me put it another way. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that which you need to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, that you will never lack it in the name of Jesus. And then lastly, the Bible states in verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. Do you notice that he has now changed his location? He says he dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. This is interesting, because although God did not heal Mephibosheth physically, but he healed him in various areas of his life. The Bible states that he sat at the table. Do you know that table in the palace is the place that was originally his? Do you know if Jonathan had been king, he would have been sitting at that table every day? And David said something, if I can find the verse now. He said that you sit continually at my table like my sons. It's somewhere there. You know, continually at the table. So he was sitting like the sons of David. Listen to me. Verse 11. Thank you. Verse 11. Yeah. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. So he was now occupying the place of a prince. Get this. The interesting thing is that if you think of Mephibosheth sitting at the table, when he was now occupying his position, when he was occupying the place, when you look at him, you cannot tell what he had been through. When you look at him, you will not realize the distress, the challenges. You will not realize what was underneath. God will cover everything you've been through in the name of Jesus. I pray for you this morning that even as Mephibosheth occupied his place at the master's table, that from henceforth, that place that the Lord has designated for you, in spite, despite all that you've been through, even as the Lord has healed it this morning, as he has taken away the shame, the reproach this morning, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that even as you occupy that place, everything else will not be obvious to anyone in Jesus' name. The Lord will cover your shame. He will cover your reproach. He will cover the challenges and trials you've been through in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that place that is rightfully yours, even as you sit there, that as the Lord has restored everything, you begin to function like you have never functioned before in the name of Jesus. The Lord will uplift you in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to me. When David uplifted Mephibosheth, that was what he did. He uplifted him to a position of royalty, to a position of nobility. The Lord will uplift you to a position of nobility, a position of royalty from henceforth in the name of Jesus. So it shall be in your life. Can we rise to our feet? I just want to... Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet? You are here this morning.